Vegas.
Are you Charles Nelson Reilly now?
I was ramping up the intensity.
Yeah. It ramped up.
Want me to try it again?
Yeah, of course.
Vegas.
Okay, I want one more just so I have options.
Vegas.
Love it. I'll use one of those. Hello and welcome to episode 175 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
Back from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in
my favorite Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Back from Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
And we'll start the show again.
Yeah. I called Vancouver VDOT.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's not going to catch on.
Yeah.
That's like, what's the opposite of wildfire?
Brush fire?
It doesn't sound like the opposite, but all right.
No, I was just naming kinds of fire.
Oh, no. That's a synonym. Yeah.
What's a homonym?
Oh, it's antonym, buddy. Antonym is the opposite.
All right.
This week on the show, we just learned all about the English language.
Great.
Yeah, finally.
Okay.
So you're back from Vegas, one piece.
Yep, made it back.
And your wallet?
Heavier.
Oh, that's great. Because all the sugar packs you stole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
Well, yeah. No, it's all those little photos that they hand out late in the wee hours of the night where they're smacking them on their hands and trying to draw your attention and handing them out, and they get littered all over the sidewalk. Got a whole bunch of those brought back with me.
That's a good gig. That'd be a good job to have.
Yeah.
When you go to apply for it, and they're like, hey, show me how you snap your fingers. Show me how you do that. Show me your moves, buddy. Show me your swag.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's not the case at all. I won money, so I was happy.
All right.
Yeah.
Vegas, was it this, like, you and Affleck got kicked out of the hotel, the casino, I heard.
Really?
Well, Affleck got kicked out, I think, while you were there.
Oh, I don't pay attention to what the other stars are doing.
I'm not even joking though. I don't know where I saw the story, and I thought, it's funny because I knew you were in Vegas at the same time. But yeah, Affleck got booted from the casino for being too good at blackjack.
Really?
Because he wasn't Affleck enough.
Oh.
The guy's Affleck. He's now Batman, and he gets booted from a casino for being too good at blackjack.
Wow. No, I didn't know this.
Yes. Yes.
I was busy crushing the $10 tables. They didn't kick me out.
No, they're fine with you there.
Yeah.
You're basically, the best you can hope for is for 8 hours you get a drink for free. That's really...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I had 8 Pabst Blue Ribbons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting about Vegas? And again, maybe I didn't notice this the last time I went, because maybe last time I went was, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago, and I wasn't as into photography as I am now.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people taking nonsense photographs in Vegas.
For example,
there's in our hotel, like our hotel lobby, no matter where you go, any hotel, any lobby. So we're not talking about the outside of the hotel, because I mean, I'll give people a pass on that. You know, they want to document where they are in Vegas, and it's quite obvious from the outside of the hotel. From the inside of the hotel, like in front of just random water spouts or mm-hmm. waterfalls or escalators or gift shops or just nothing. There's these flowers that were in the hotel lobby, like up on wires, I guess. Like, I don't know what kind of flowers they were because I'm not a flower expert, but they're up floating in the air. That, like, I saw a zillion people taking photos of that. And I know I'd mentioned this previously when we talked about, you know, going to the zoo and taking pictures of the tiger and the lion and the elephant. What are you going to do with that photograph when you get home? Are you going to frame it?
I'm going to say no.
Are you going to put it on Instagram or whatever else people do? Look where I am. That's what's going to happen.
Right. It's funny that you bring this up because this wasn't planned again because we don't plan anything. But that's actually the topic of the show this week.
Instagram?
No. How to shoot context. We're talking about context, how to include that in your photo. Right. And but this to me doesn't sound like anything good.
This is the opposite of context.
What if there's like thousands of people who just got back from Vegas are hunkering down to listen to our show?
Right.
And they're just like, oh man, I took that photo.
Yeah, yeah. I hope they stop listening. That's what I hope.
Yeah, like, oh man, I really, those flowers with the water in the background, that was the Mona Lisa of my trip.
Right. And I seriously, you would need to have, I don't know, do they make a lens that's like a 1 to 8 millimeter? Like these roofs are like 200 feet high. And so I don't know what kind of lens that you're using, unless you're lying on your back and shooting straight up, that's going to get anything in the frame anyways.
Uh-huh.
Do they make that? Is there a 1 to 8 millimeter lens?
There's a 2 to 9.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
That's the one I need.
Yeah, yeah. The one's very expensive. It sees around behind the camera and it gets a shot of you in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did. Here's the thing is if you were a single guy in Vegas and you wanted to meet lots of people, women, men, whatever you like, photography angle is a good one because everybody's standing around at, you know, whatever, pick your time, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, taking pictures in front of all different landmarks, and they have zero idea what they're doing. And mm-hmm. So, of course, I just point this out to my friends, what idiots everybody is. But right. It is an easy angle to, oh, hey, can I help you out here? And maybe perhaps take the picture for them so that all of the friends can be in the photo, or perhaps point them in the direction of where they should be standing so that maybe it won't turn out as a complete silhouette.
Good call.
Yeah. So here you are, single guys or girls, or, you know, take a trip to Vegas.
Two times ago in Vegas, did something similar. I don't know, at some point in the middle of the night, because, you know, you don't really sleep.
Right.
We decided that it would be hilarious to just go and get your picture taken with as many, you know, random girls on the street as you could with no shirt on. Right. I had no shirt on.
Right, right.
Yeah, they weren't as cooperative, but...
Right.
Yeah, and we ended up making a video of that, of who could get the coolest photos, the funniest photos without a shirt on around Vegas.
Here's another complaint of mine, just to, you know, I don't want to take you completely off topic here because that was a great angle, but what about the characters? You know how when you go in LA, like down by the old Chinese theater where they used to have the Oscars and that, and they have all mm-hmm. the characters. They have the Batman and the Spider-Man and the Stormtroopers and everybody else that you can take photos with, and obviously you give them some money in turn for being in the photo with them. You're aware of this, right?
I'm aware of this, yeah.
Okay, so in Vegas, you've seen the characters as well.
I've not.
Okay, in Vegas, they have the characters, but with the worst costumes ever. Mm-hmm. Like the kind of costumes that people spend $50 on eBay buying.
Like the Flash? Like,
well, no. Like, hey, that's not where I'm going. Oh. There was a Spider-Man, but it was the worst Spider-Man costume. It looked like Spider-Man pajamas, and... To to completely kill the illusion, had a fanny pack, just big fanny pack. Spider-Man does not wear a fanny pack, but I guess that's where he's putting all those tips. And it's not like he pulled the fanny pack around to the back. No. This was right up front, and to go with his already big pot belly, Spider-Man does not have a fanny pack, and he certainly does not have a pot belly. And it was humiliating for him. So, and again, I had to point this out to my friends that this should not be happening. There was an Elmo, and again, just a very, very poor Elmo costume. And this is Vegas. I don't know how many people are getting their picture with Elmo. There was a set of Minions, two Minions. And keep in mind,
what are Minions?
Minions are like the guys from Despicable Me. Okay. You know, that cartoon movie. So they're like the yellow guys with the big one eye. You've probably seen the characters.
Well, I know the song.
Okay, happy. So So there you go. There's those guys. And those costumes, it was, they were wearing them in the middle of like a day where it was like 37 degrees Celsius. And they're the biggest, furriest costume. And I had a beef with these guys because they completely broke character. They're out of those costumes and they're just standing right beside them smoking.
Right. This is Vegas, not Disneyland.
Yeah. So anyways, right. I'm ranting now. But
did people just keep trying to get their picture taken with you and hand you money? Hey, Charlie Brown's here. Look it. Check it out.
Charlie Brown. I like
that. That's what you should have done. Just wore that shirt. Just made a couple extra bucks.
I should have. In hindsight, I think that I probably would have had as many customers as the potbelly pajama-wearing Spider-Man.
I don't know. I feel like I might have gotten my picture taken with the potbelly Spider-Man, just kind of on principle. Because that would be awesome. That would be awesome to post on the show here.
Yeah. Now I'm mad that I didn't.
Yeah.
We did. Okay, so here is another little photography tie-in. We did on the last night. So the last night we were in Vegas and we were in, like, there's a Walgreens right on the strip, right next to where the hotel we were staying. And we went in and we were getting, again, not important, but we were getting frozen yogurt from Walgreens at like 2 a.m. And there's a guy standing next to us and he was waiting in the line. The line was like a mile long and we were kind of cheating the system because we found this register where you could buy frozen yogurt and pay for whatever else you had.
Right.
And so so the guy standing next to us, we said, oh yeah, like one of my buddies said, I'll get your water. And this complete stranger, and he was taken aback by that and super happy. He's like, you know what, I'm gonna take your guy's picture. And he was kind of dressed like an old school photographer, like he had, I don't know, the little bow tie and the whole getup, and then he pulled this little camera out that was a Polaroid, but like a really little Polaroid camera out, and he took our picture, and then he, you know, signed his little thing on the back, and it was just the three guys I went with, the four of us posing his picture, just being silly in Walgreens, and he wrote on the back of it something about, you know, stays in Vegas, and I told him I would mention it on the show. So yeah, his website is philanthrotography.com. So okay, if anybody's interested, he's starting a business where I don't know if it's a business or not, but basically, yeah, I was just taking random pictures on this little Polaroid and giving them to people. I thought it was very nice, so I mentioned it on the show.
And he's Fat Spider-Man.
No, I maybe he is. I couldn't tell. Spider-Man on a mask.
Oh, good point. So he's Fat Peter Parker.
This guy wasn't fat though, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. I don't know his name or anything else, just Philanthrotography. I like the name of the website, so it sounds nice rolling off the tongue.
That does sound pretty good.
Yeah, so there awesome. You go.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah, did I mention with my Vegas winnings, I bought something photography related?
What did you buy?
I bought a...
You mentioned at the top of the show, didn't you? Isn't it our cold open?
Is it in our cold open?
Yeah, I think so.
I never know because we talked for like 20 minutes and said nothing. So
yeah,
standard. But yeah, I bought an LED video light. So
great.
At some point, I will take a few photos with it and maybe some video and then post something. But it's one of those. It's a fancier one. It's a bigger one. It's made by Lumahawk. It's got like the variable color temperature on it, so you can change it from roughly 3200 Kelvin to 5600. So you can adjust it just with a switch on the back. It's got a big dimmer switch to go from 10% power to full power. And man, when you got the thing cranked, it's got two batteries. It puts out a lot of light. Like I can light up a whole room with this little thing. So I was impressed with how much light it puts out. And it comes with like the full ball head on it that you can just fix to a light stand. Like it's got, like you can mount it on your camera. It was kind of designed to be on camera, but it seems kind of big and heavy. I don't know how much I'll use it on the camera.
Right.
I figure more often I will use it on a light stand or just have someone hold it.
I find that the dedicated video cameras, like your bigger video cameras, tend to have a much more robust hot shoe.
Okay.
And it did specifically for that, because it's not actually like a hot shoe like on our still cameras where it's designed to trigger the flash. It's just there to hold.
Right.
And so maybe that's probably, I'm hesitant to put heavy things in the hot shoe of my 5D.
Yeah, so. I had no intention of using it on my, the hot shoe of my 6D. I thought maybe I might use it on the T2i where I'm not too worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, yeah, no, that sounds. I'm looking forward to trying it out because I want to get one myself.
Well, there you go. And it had like it comes with like a diffuser that you just slide on top to. But I wanted something that was versatile. And I kind of was debating back and forth whether I would get a studio strobe or whether I was going to get something like this, a video light. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of tossing back and forth between the two and what was I going to buy. And they're roughly about the same cost, what I was looking at. But I went with the video light just because of the portability factor. I think I'll use it about 10 times as much as I'm gonna use a studio strobe.
I feel like if you had a much bigger house,
yes,
and were able to basically have your studio just leave it set up,
yes,
you'd get more use out of the studio strobe.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's not happening anytime soon. The size of my house is not going to grow,
especially anytime soon. You know, pissing your money away on LED lights.
That's true. Yeah. That's next month's down payment or whatever, next mortgage payment or whatever.
So ballpark price, what do these go for, the LED lights?
This one was on sale. It was $399 for $250. So I paid $250 and what? I looked around and everywhere it's selling, like the cheapest other place I could find it selling for was $299 and most places were selling it for $399. So $250 seemed like a really good price for a good brand light. Now there's this one, like I say, is larger than most of the LEDs I was looking at and gives off a lot more light and has the variable temperature. So once you get into the ones with the dimming switch and the variable temperature, you're usually looking at minimum of $200. And then most of them are names that you've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. And Lumahawk was one I knew for LED lighting. And I'd actually been to a photography little expo, I don't know, 8 months ago and talked to the Lumahawk rep and saw all the different lights and everything. So it was one that if I was going to buy one, I did kind of want to buy a brand name.
Sure.
So anyway, so I'm so far, like I say, I've just taken it out of the box, charged the batteries and took a little iPod video of the kids using the light for Mother's Day, something, you know, that we do annually for Mother's Day.
A light show?
No, a little video where I asked the kids about, tell me things about mommy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's my only use. But my complaint was that using that video light and doing it with the iPod is it, you know, the iPod keeps changing like how dark or light everything is, right? Because it keeps trying to decide where your settings are. So I want to do it with the camera if I'm going to do video so I can manually set the settings and just have it stay consistent.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm more upset that you didn't tell me ahead of time. I would have had you buy two of them.
Oh yeah, you're into that.
I would have bought one. I mean, they're at that price. I think yeah.
You could have
made a margin on that with me.
Oh really? Yeah. All right, I'll mark it up.
Yep. I would have gone as high as $255.
Nice.
Yeah. a little change in your pocket. Yeah. That's how we do. That's great. So maybe I'll pick one up next time I'm in town.
What about yourself? Anything new over there? Because we spent 20 minutes just talking about me.
That's the edited down version.
Baseball.
Got killed in baseball.
That's what I saw. I saw some of the pictures.
Yeah, the good pictures, though. But that's the thing is we went and played against the number one team in the league.
Right.
And they're also ranked. I heard they're ranked number four in all of Europe, which is surprising. There's actually some good teams here in Europe. Which sounds funny, baseball in Europe, but there's actually some good teams.
Now, to be clear, the team that you're playing with, this team, is not the team you were playing with last year, right? Like, this is the better team now.
Well, that's debatable, depending, you know, when you find out our results. But yes, this is the first league team. This is the Bundesliga.
Okay.
I was with them. Our team is we're firmly in last place.
Okay. So secure.
Yeah. There's no one nipping at our heels.
Right.
Unfortunately. Right. No, we've had a rough, that's irrelevant. Point is we went and played in this place called Regensburg and they have a great stadium. I mean, we have similar stadiums in North America that I've played in, but over here it's not that common to have, you know, a facility like this.
Okay.
And so that was exciting to go play in there. And then, so I played in the first game. It's a doubleheader. And the games were broadcast live on the internet, which was kind of funny to hear because you can watch it later. And then to hear you know, see you being hitting, and the announcer speaking German is just kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a strange experience for me. But anyways,
did you play better on video?
No.
Okay.
No. I have to do a lot of editing to make myself look good.
Okay.
But in between games, or the beginning of the second game, like, there was a photographer on hand who was shooting the game, and he turns to me and he says, "Oh, you're Alan from the Two Hosers."
Wow.
I was like, my ego got really big right then.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, and introduced himself, and he listened to the show, and I thought that, that was pretty cool. And I thought very little of it at that point. I mean, it was very nice. I thought, oh, that's great.
Then you thought, wow, am I more famous as a baseball player or as a photographer or podcaster?
Podcaster, definitely podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no one there trying to sign me after. Turns out when you're this old, it's not the beginning of your career. And so, anyways, and I thought nothing of it. And nothing of it. I thought, hey, that's really cool. And then we went on, you know, the business of getting beat in the second game too.
Right.
And then a couple days later, I see that he sends a link. So I introduce myself, by the way, and his name is Walter Keller.
Okay.
And I see the link to his pictures, and I'm just blown away. Like, I thought, wow, like, these are excellent. The photos of the whole game, not just like the one of me. Because there's a couple of me in there just somehow looking sour. I don't know. I'm upset about something. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But, and there is one of me getting beat on a changeup, which was a really good changeup. I was kind of choked about. I struck out on a 1-2 changeup.
Okay.
So it was good. It was good pitch, sir. but the pictures in general of the whole game were just outstanding. And so I put the link up last week for people to check out the two galleries from both games. And we're going to have Walter on the show in the near future because he wants to come on and talk about how he did that.
How he did it.
Because, well, there's a whole lot going on. I mean, there's the different, you know, style of the photo, which you may or may not like. That's up to you. You know, the different, like, the sort of the different colors and the... what do you call around the edge? You know, when you add the dark vignetting.
Vignette?
The vignetting. Yeah, he uses vignetting a fair bit. And those sorts of things, that's one thing. But the way he captures the action and what's going on is really really outstanding. So look forward to having him on the show soon.
All right. Action photographer.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, did you give him your podcast trading card?
No, I didn't have any. We're getting the new ones done with the new logo.
Okay.
So I'll give him one of those next time I'm in Regensburg.
Okay.
Which is like 3.5 hours away, so probably won't be there anytime soon. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did not. I was away in Vegas, and then I was recovering from Vegas and working for the last few days, mm-hmm. So I have shot nothing since we talked last. In fact, I shot my challenge photo this morning, taking my kids to school before we got in the car. I'm like, can you please take a photo? So that's all the photography.
Somebody
for me.
Stand over there.
Yeah. Photography free week for me.
Yeah, that happens every now and then.
Yeah,
I went the other way. I had to shoot some more baseball product shots.
Mm-hmm.
These weren't as fun though.
Are they flying off the shelves? All the hoodies and T-shirts and everything since you've put up those pictures?
I believe so. I believe
great.
So.
Great. All right. You getting a cut on that?
No. Oh. No. They don't cut me into that lucrative deal.
Okay.
No, though I'll probably end up wearing the Tubing and Hawks gear around Vegas taking pictures with people. And my fanny pack. But if I need a fanny pack, though.
Right. Yeah, Randy. You definitely. That's where you're going to collect all your money.
Oh, absolutely. I would get a fanny pack designed like a piggy bank, though. It's just a slot in the top, but people can just put their money right into it.
That makes sense.
And creepy. So these ones, I mean, there was a couple, you know, it was a golf shirt and a couple of T-shirts that we had to shoot, which was fine. Just went back to the standard setup. But then it was, okay, here we have sweatpants. How do you shoot sweatpants?
I don't know.
No, but think about it. Sweatpants, I mean, on a guy, it was guys and girls.
Right.
And it's not like sweatpants are tremendously flattering.
No.
And so, like, when it comes to the shirts, I end up doing, like, you know, I'll end up taking the clothespins and basically clipping the back of the shirt so it fits, like, kind of like a nice tailored fit.
Right.
For the photo, anyway. Obviously, you don't walk around like that, but so that I can make look good. However, sweatpants are sweatpants.
Right.
And so that was much more difficult. And nor do I have the white seamless background.
So right. That's hard, yeah.
So I'm going to have to Photoshop that in. So I basically did it, you know, up against the white wall, but with my hardwood floors, I had the subject stand on a piece of white paper so that at least their feet are on something with the white seamless and the rest will be Photoshopped in. That's what I'm going to have to do.
Right.
And I haven't done that yet, and it's not going to look good, I don't think. And again, it's just, so I basically shot from the waist down. I didn't shoot the whole body because we want to focus right. When you want to shoot, you know, product shots for anybody, where would you go to look for some samples?
I'm not sure.
The Gap.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what you're getting at.
Yes, the Gap. The Gap does a very good job of photographing.
Yes, I agree with you. I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it that hard to find a white background in Germany?
No, it's just not a priority. It hasn't been a priority.
Seems like you're doing a lot of product photography, though.
Yeah. I really kind of wish I had ordered one. but it's just,
not. They're not expensive.
They're not expensive. No. In fact, in this case, when you factor in your Photoshop time, you'll make money by owning one.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, the extra work you're doing, it doesn't seem worth it.
No. This isn't a conscious effort for me to save a couple of shekels. I just don't happen to have one. It hasn't been a priority. I got about 1,000,001 things going on. Besides that,
right?
And that's why I don't have one. And I will have one. I will get one.
Okay.
I will own one. That's for sure. Just in time for this all to be finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. So I shot that. I also shot, now this is a lot of fun. I recommend you do this just for fun because you're not allowed to do it in Canada. But here they don't mind if you shoot your own passport photos.
Okay.
Because in Canada, we've talked about it before, you have to go to like a licensed place and get it stamped and all that stuff, right?
Yep.
And there's rules. You do. It doesn't have to be film anymore. It used to have to be film.
No, it definitely doesn't have to be film because the last one I got was not film.
Right. But that's changed. But you can't just take it yourself. Well, here you can take it yourself if you want. I mean, it still has to be a certain standard, like the white background. It has to be, you know, like all the dimensions of the face have to be proper. And there are a bunch of rules. But if you can handle it, which, P.S., I can, you can just do it yourself. Print it out. Like I print it out on my computer and just take it down there. Print it out with my, you know, my regular photo printer. And take it down, so it's no longer that way. I save the $5 on getting a passport photo. I don't know, they're expensive in Canada, aren't they? $10, $12, $15,
at least.
Yeah, something like that. But so, anyways, point being, my kids needed passports.
Okay,
my not quite 3 year old, and the however old my son is,
right?
In months, something months.
6 months.
Roughly, maybe less, maybe more. Probably less. I think less than that.
Okay.
I think it's 5 months. Point being, not a lot of fun. Because my daughter will not sit still. And she just wants to make goofy faces. And the border control people don't want that. And so that was no fun whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you?
I'm still doing it.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It took a couple tries. Like, My son was all right. We got him, you know, once I got, you know, my wife to hold him up just right, and I just fired away. That took about 10 shots, and I got one that was usable. And then my daughter it took a couple different sittings with some threats and some promises of raisins. A lot of that going on.
I see.
Yeah. Tom, what I'm suggesting to you is, just for fun, go find a not-quite-3-year-old and try to take her passport photo. it's like Alan's fantasy camp,
right?
Yeah. So that's it. That was all okay. I did. All good I did. Night. Interesting. Yeah, good night. Photo challenge, spotlight effect.
Wow, I can't believe we got there.
Yeah, that was a long route. Tell me about, you said you shot yours this morning.
Yes,
Cause,
I did.
Because you were gone. Is there no reflections in Vegas? It's like mirrors and glass everywhere.
Yeah, but I didn't bring a camera.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah. So anyways, on our way to the car this morning, I looked for somewhere where there was just a little bit of light peeking through. So I went near the trees, and it was a little bit overcast, so I couldn't get a really bright spotlight. Mm-hmm. So I did the best I could and got some light coming through the trees, got my daughter to crouch down low so that the light would hit her. Mm-hmm. And snapped a photo. She did a couple where, again, she wanted to be goofy, so I got this picture in between where she's looking at her brother, and I quite liked it. I'm not sure it really is the spotlight effect as I intended, but I think it's a more subtle effect in terms of the spotlight. I do like this approach to bringing the light right to your subject and then everything else kind of being a little darker around.
Mm-hmm. No, this is it's not a full blown, hey, look at the spotlight effect, but it's much better than that, I think, because this is actually a usable photo. This is actually, you know, a technique that you can use and get good results without drawing attention to the process.
Right.
Which we'll see mine in a second. Mine is the opposite. Mine really draws attention to it. And which I did on purpose, but so no, this looks good. I mean, this is a technique that this is not a reflection. This is light shining through the trees.
Yes.
Okay. So that's something to look for. I mean, that these are this kind of lighting situations that you want to look for in everyday life that are going to give you this kind of pleasing effect.
Yeah, and I mean, when I took a couple of photos and some from different angles, and when you see it from a higher up angle that I take the photo, you can see exactly where her shadow is casted behind her. But from this angle, you can't really. You just see kind of beside her left shoulder where the other little patches of light are falling on the grass. But yeah, that's it. I had to get her to crouch down, though, to make the light strike her. But I like the fact that the light wasn't hitting the trees, so the trees appear much darker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's again something that I don't always look for. So by doing the podcast last week, this reminded me of a really simple technique.
Yes, it's one of my favorites. So getting into my photo. Well, first of all, the weather here was really not cooperating with me. It's, okay. I think all of April, we had wonderful weather. Now, this last 10 days, it's just been basically overcast and no good. You know, peaks of sun, but usually at noon, so I couldn't really get this effect. And so, ultimately, not to make excuses, but this was not the photo I wanted to take. I had something else in mind where I'd go into town and take, you know, really use, you know, the back lot I have of old Europe. To take a nice photo, and I didn't get a chance. Just didn't happen. But one day early on, as my daughter and I were walking back home from somewhere, I saw this light hit, and I thought, oh, I better grab this now, just really quickly, in case the weather doesn't cooperate. And so I ran inside, got my camera, and this is just my 5D Classic with the 85mm on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is just a big stretch of grass by a little creek, with a little rock there that she's sitting on, and on the behind me, like the sun is setting behind her, which is kind of and it's kind of on a hill, so that's what's causing the giant shadow, and the light is hitting the window of the building behind me, sort of behind me to the right, and that's what's causing that reflection to break up the open shade there.
Okay.
So the reflection's causing the spotlight effect.
Okay.
So I quickly had her, I just had her sit down and snapped away, and she's, of course, sticking her tongue out, goofy.
Yeah.
Didn't want that. I said, let's maybe give me a nice smile or something like that. And just as I did that, the person closed their window.
Nice.
Because this was open. This was open, causing that reflection. And they closed the window, which basically took away the spotlight effect. And so I basically, this was a one and done. Get moving on.
Yeah.
So that's what ended up happening. But this is a very, very pronounced example of the spotlight effect.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't use this in general. I mean, every now and then it can be kind of interesting, but I would probably use something a little more subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I got, yeah, I like the effect. Again, you know, not done all the time, but for this photo and with the crop, and I like it. So I also have children, so I can appreciate the tongue sticking out and kind of like it for that. I saw this photo and I'm like, oh, I really like it. Again, a more pronounced effect with the spotlight, but yeah, it works. I think it works well. So I don't think anything that you have to apologize for.
Oh, I never apologize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I felt sorry for you. So.
This week's topic, context. Right. We mentioned it earlier. It's context. And it's funny that, you know, it worked out with Vegas, because that's a situation where you kind of want to show context. You want to basically what I'm talking about with context is when you're taking a photo of somebody or getting one of your taken of yourself, and you want to show where you are and what you're doing.
Right.
Basically, what's the background going to be, you know? And in Vegas, it's a great one, because how do you get, you know, what do you include, what do you not include? So the reason I thought of this is because when we were in Regensburg, one of my teammates, who's American, his mother was in town visiting him and came to the game.
Okay.
And so I'd brought my camera with me, I didn't bring my whole setup. I just brought my 40D with the 30mm lens and threw it in my bag. And in between games, I offered to snap a photo of them, because I thought, you know, his mom flew all the way out. Let's get a photo of them here at the stadium. And I thought, you know, okay, how do I convey that, you know, it's the two of them, but that they're at this stadium, and still make them the center of attention?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that was the challenge, because I don't normally shoot that way.
Right.
Like, for me, environment is, it's not as important as the people. So I don't generally include that much of the environment. But what happens when you need to?
So what did you do? You're it's a cliffhanger here.
No, just stand back and shoot it all, and that's it. Move on.
Okay.
Simple. Right. No, it's actually, it seems simple, but there's actually a lot to it. So, but you do this all the time, don't you? I mean, when you were in Disneyland, for example.
Yes.
Like, you wanted to have some shots saying, hey, we're in Disneyland.
Yeah, you like to include, you know, the Ferris wheel with the big Mickey Mouse face on it, and, you mm-hmm. know, the Cars Land signage, you know, it says Radiator Springs, and you get the picture.
Matterhorn.
Yes.
We get Matterhorn in there.
Yeah. Like, again, all of the very recognizable landmarks. You like to have a few pictures anyways that include those, so that there is a context. And maybe it doesn't need to be in every picture, but when you decide to make the album or whatever you choose to do with the photos, you need a few of those for the sake of context.
And when you shoot those, now this kind of goes to more towards the issue of coverage. When you shoot those context photos, do you try to get your kids in it, or would you just shoot a sign of Disneyland?
I think I sometimes do both. It just depends, right? So again, depends on the sign. Like a picture of just the Matterhorn by itself to me is pretty bland. So that's one where you can have it in the background and you can still make the picture about the people. But then something that would be more just a sign, maybe that's something that you include on its own. So mm-hmm. I think I can go either way with that one.
Right. We're going to talk about how to get your kids in the shot.
Great.
So first step, I mean, like I said, it does seem simple, but there's a lot that goes on. First step is establish what the context is. You know, for me, I knew it wasn't just that it was baseball. It was the fact that, because, I mean, he grew up playing baseball. He's played baseball his whole life. His mom's been there. So he's got baseball photos. But what he Right. didn't have was a photo of him and his mother at a baseball stadium in Germany, specifically. So that means I want to show the stadium, for one, but I also want to show the German signage.
Right.
And, you know, because the ads are for German companies and German banks. And also I wanted to show that there was a decent crowd, because that was kind of part of the narrative as well.
Right.
But more importantly, I wanted to show, you know, mother and son at the game. And so the people, the thing I struggle with is if the photo was just for the two of them, I would have gotten a lot closer and not included as much.
Right.
Because they know that they were in Germany playing baseball.
Right.
But if you had no clue, if you were just going to see this image for the first time with no explanation, you want to know immediately that they're at the stadium in Germany.
Right.
So that's why I chose. I actually put the photo in the Dropbox. You can have a look at it, and I'll post it, and we'll talk. You know, the listeners can have a look at it as well.
Okay.
So you can go have a look at that at your leisure. So that's why I included it much more than I normally include in the image. Normally, I would move in tight and just shoot the two of them. Next step, try to choose good light. So that's all the things I knew I needed to include to make the photo I wanted. Next, try to find good light.
Okay.
But this would have been taken at around, I'm going to say around 3 p.m. And which isn't bad. You're like, it's not quite noon. So you're going to get okay, somewhat directional light, but you can't just run around willy-nilly like you could on an overcast day.
Right.
This was actually, she had sun during this part of the day. And so I kind of had to decide, okay, where am I going to line them up and still include, you know, get what I wanted. And I think I'd originally wanted the scoreboard and the outfield wall in the photo because it's got a lot of signage as well, and it's in, like, a nice looking scoreboard. But the way the light was, it was very unflattering on them, and it was, you know, going to be a really high contrast scenario, and so the results just wouldn't have been good.
Okay.
So I lined them up to take them with the stands in the background. Next step, make sure you use a kind of a wide-ish lens. Now, obviously, if I shot this with a 200mm lens, it's going to be an entirely different photo.
Right.
Like, I'd have to go, you know, stand back in Munich to get everything in.
So you went with?
My 30mm lens.
Okay.
Now, that was on purpose. I that's the only lens I had, but I brought that lens specifically for this, not this photo, but this sort of photo. Because I knew, because I was playing in the game, I knew I didn't have time to take, you know, action shots. I had no idea Walter would be there anyway, and he did a good job, so, you know, didn't need to bring my camera for that anyways. But normally, I would, you know, bring my long lens and get a lot of action shots and that sort of stuff. But in this case, I knew I'd be grabbing candids and getting context photos.
Right.
And so I brought the 30mm. Now, it's wide, but it's not too wide. Meaning you're gonna see a lot of your surroundings, but your subject, for the most part, isn't going to be distorted.
Right.
If I'd shot this with your 2-9mm lens that you just bought in Vegas.
Right. Yeah.
You know, sure, you're gonna get a lot of surroundings, but your subjects are likely to look a little bit goofy. So you kind of want to get something in the middle. So if I'd had a full frame camera, I would have shot this with the 50mm lens.
Right.
But I didn't. I had my crop sensor. So the next step is get an f-stop that's going to give you a reasonable depth of field. The fact is that you're on a, you know, relatively wide angle lens, you're standing far enough back, you're already putting yourself in a position to get a decent depth of field. So even at like, you know, an f4 or 5.6, you're still going to get pretty good results. But in this case, I wanted more. I wanted to get, you know, almost all of it in focus, or relatively so that even the out-of-focus parts are still recognizable.
Right.
And so I usually start at an F8 and then we'll work it to an F11 depending on the scenario.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure this was an F11. This one was snapped at. And that's going to give me, and I focused on them, and that's going to give me... because in the foreground, there's not too much to worry about in terms of focus. And in the background's relatively all in focus. And we can see where we are. Now, the issue is that, you know, some of the background is distracting. Mm-hmm. Like, if we look at this as a classic photo, it's not that good just for a regular people photo. So I, you know, I do recommend trying to get a non-distracting background, but oftentimes your context, you're at a distracting place. If you're at Disneyland, there's a lot of distractions going on.
Yeah.
You know, and same here at the ballpark between games, it's not like everybody's focused on watching that, you know, the batter at the same time. This is in between games. And so everyone's kind of doing their own thing, which is fine, which in, again, in this context works just fine for me. I think ultimately, you know, the people who are going to see this photo know what the subject is, and their eye immediately goes to my team. I'm going to call my teammate Rick.
Okay.
It's not his name. But, you know, they go to Rick and Mom there, even though there's a lot going on. Non-standard framing. This is not how I normally frame people. With this, okay, with this much headroom, and normally I would get in close and you know, and have them fill the frame, and the headroom would be proper. But in this case, can't do that, can you?
No, you cannot.
No.
However, is that the answer you're looking for?
That's what I'm looking for. But this sort of does still follow the rule of thirds. I mean, they are in the lower third of the image.
Yeah.
And so there are, you know, they, for the most part. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I... This is just the raw image, uncropped.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I cropped it slightly differently in the final one. But generally, you know, keep them down there. The rule of thirds is maintained. And but still, I would never shoot with this much headroom. Normally, for this photo, I would move in tight, shoot it at an f4, blur the background a little bit, and there's that. But not in this case.
Okay.
Lastly, my last suggestion is leave a little bit of bleed room around the edges. A little bit of room for maybe you throw it in a frame, or you want to crop it for a different aspect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where you can leave a decent amount of room around the edges to play with later. Like, I generally try to get things right in camera if I can.
Mm-hmm.
But this one... you're absolutely well within your rights, not the right word, of leaving some room to manipulate later.
Okay.
And then you have options, you know, because my, you know, Rick here asked me, you want to get this framed, and he's not sure if he wants an 8x10 or an 8x12, but either way, it's going to be very, very simple to do. So there you go. That's how you get context in there.
Great.
The end.
Did you see my pictures from the Mariners game?
I did.
Now that we're talking about baseball, so I tried to shoot some context photos myself of the baseball game with my wife and kids.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I did see them. What was your approach? I mean, this is obviously before you learned everything you just learned right now. So
my approach was try to include the fact that we were in Seattle at Safeco Field. So took a couple of pictures. Nobody wanted to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So in the walk-up, so I took a few just while they were walking up towards the left field gate. Mm-hmm. It says Safeco Field, left field. Took a couple of quick photos just as they were walking so that I got a context photo for whatever my wife will put together at a later point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got them to take a few. We were sitting in the left field bleachers, so I got them to take a couple of photos where we were in the first row of those bleachers, so they just turned around and I stood up a couple rows and then crouched down so that I could get the background. It says Safeco Field, and that's it. That was my whole approach. It started raining. We went for batting practice, so we went probably an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
And it started raining, so they quickly closed the roof, and the lighting completely changed. It was far easier to shoot with the overcast, like you just mentioned, than it was when the roof closed and everything got a lot darker and
right,
you're dealing with the overhead lights. So as soon as that happened, I promptly put my camera away and said, this is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was it. I took a few photos of the kids with their popcorn and stuff. So
I'm looking at the photos here on the ones you posted.
Yeah.
I don't see any with the Safeco sign in the stadium.
Did I not post any? I'm not sure if I did. I think there's one of Jack or Lisa, like where they're facing out and you can see, it's not the Safeco sign, but it says Safeco Field. It's kind of blurred out, but you can make it out.
Oh, I see. There is one. Yes. Where Jack's looking at the camera.
Yeah.
And it says, welcome to Safeco Field, which I happen to know because I've been to Safeco Field. It is pretty blurry, but the big sign, unfortunately for your situation here, is the big Safeco Field sign, the iconic sign, I believe is directly behind you.
Yes, yeah. It is.
So that, yeah. But I have a very similar photo of taken from the other side of the stadium, with, you know, me with in the front with the welcome to Safeco Field in the background as well. Now again, for you guys, you'll look at these photos and there'll be no mistake of where you are. You'll be, oh, that was our day at Safeco.
Right.
If you need to spoon feed other people, then it's a situation you'd have to tell them, oh, this was us at Safeco. Although the hoodie says you're not in San Diego.
Right. And I wrote on the Facebook, you know, because I put a little Facebook album. That's what you're probably looking at. Mm-hmm. And I said, trip to Mariners game or something, right. I called it. So
absolutely. Yeah.
That's how you add context.
That's it. Just in the text box later. Yeah. That's good thinking. Yeah. I feel like we wasted our time doing it the episode then.
Could have been way faster.
Yeah. Just write it down. Great. Well, next week's challenge, guess what? It's going to be context.
Oh, I thought it was going to be video light.
Oh, no. That's maybe we'll do one when I'm there and can use your video light.
Okay.
I actually have a video light, but it's old. It's not even LED. It's just an old, like, hand cranked. I think Edison made it with his own hands. It's that old.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I don't get to use it that much. I'm looking forward to using yours.
Okay.
So, but for next week, we'll do context. Now, it doesn't have to be Safeco Field. You don't have to go back. It can be any kind of context, but what it should be, it should tell the story without having to write it down. So we'll post these online without writing a single caption, and people should know what's going on, where we are, what's going on, who's doing what. The end.
Sounds good.
All right. Adam, where can people find your photos?
They can find them on Two Hosers Facebook site and occasionally on Schwartz Chronicles. I think the wells run dry again on Schwartz Chronicles. How about your stuff?
My Schwartz Chronicles is working fine.
Okay. All right. Check out yours then.
Check them out there. No, alnatridge.com, but the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all you want to know about this show. Until next week, Adam, get out there and make better photos.